Well, do it in the.
Yeah.
All right, ready? Yeah. 1, 2, 3.
All right.
Woo!
After, what time did you get here? 2:15?
Yeah, but I was late.
So after 45 minutes of troubleshooting.
Eat the mic, babe.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Yep.
I'm leaving this all in, by the way.
Great.
It's going to be in the entire time.
Yeah, everyone will know how bossy I am, and I'm happy about that.
Cool. So after 45 minutes of troubleshooting how to get both audio tracks recording, we're here. We're finally doing the thing.
We're making something. You're making something.
I am making something. Trying
see,
to.
See what I did there? I'm like, I'm a part of it. I'm like, okay, stop. Just trying to control everything, Shayna.
So, yeah. Welcome to Behind the Artist with Will Borowski. I'm your host, Will Borowski. I'm here with someone whose hair is just as nice as she is, Shayna Blass. And I'm very excited to have her because we have a lot to talk about.
Thank you so much for having me. This is so fun. Problem. Thank you for letting me be involved, boss you around. Thank you
bit.
For letting me talk to your mom also.
Yeah, she's the best.
She's awesome.
I'll introduce everybody to my mom. So yeah, before
we start.
I also
had never heard your last name out loud.
Really?
Borowski. I've only seen it on Instagram.
On Instagram, yeah.
I was like, okay, that's Wilski.
Wilski. That's my name in your phone now.
Wilski. Yeah, absolutely.
Before we start, you have requested Topo Chico.
Yeah.
And I'd want to know why.
You asked, well, as part of the, I want to know why we're doing a drink on the, I love that.
Yeah.
Of like, so you asked me what, well, like what you can get, like what beer or wine. And I said, I don't drink.
Yeah.
I'm a sober girl. That's why I'm so cute and fun. Mm-hmm. And so my choice was Topo Chico because I think it is the hardest bubble and the best seltzer on the market at the moment.
Okay.
So hard bubble goes to, in my opinion, goes from Topo Chico to the softest bubble is like the plastic Pellegrino at 7-Eleven.
Okay.
Yeah. That's like, it's barely a soda. Like it's barely a seltzer. It's
okay.
Like kind of just like a light tingle, and also you have to drink it really quickly because after 15 minutes of open, even if it's closed, after 15 minutes it's like flat.
All right,
so that's a soft bubble.
So here's why this is a monumental moment. I've never had it, so we're gonna open it up,
popping Will's
gonna,
cherry Topo cherry.
We're gonna open some Topo Chico. It's
okay.
Topo Chico.
Yes. I'm can
you,
I hold the mic
I was
onto
say, I'm let you do it.
Oh, okay. Great. Okay, give me this, and then can you hold the mic?
Yeah.
Okay. That was disappointing.
That's why we got two. This is why we brainstormed.
Okay, let's do the second one.
Wait. Can
you? Yeah, I was gonna say, why'd you hand that?
This is fun.
That sounded a lot better.
That was wee bit better. Okay, to Will's first.
To the first pod.
First pod, first Topo Chico.
Thanks for saying yes.
Absolute.
That's a big
I'm a
thing.
Yes girl.
It's got a lot of bite.
Right? Yeah, bite, bubble. It's so good. It's so refreshing. It's summer in Brooklyn. It's July in Brooklyn.
Yeah, super hot.
Cold Topo Chico. Is there anything better? Well, you grew up here, so maybe you
yeah,
don't.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, don't let me simmer on that for a little bit. I'll find something. I'll
You're
definitely
like,
find something.
Well, it's not Turks and Caicos, but.
Never been, but
me neither.
I'm guessing. So, Shayna, you do a lot of shit. Is there anything that you currently host or do other than making music that you're most proud of?
Nope.
No.
host other than music. I mean, I only really host music things. So I have a monthly singer-songwriter showcase at Pete's Candy Store in Brooklyn. That's where we met. It's called Shay and
Pete's.
The Good People. I also have a podcast called Shay and the Good People, which I started like interviewing people who were only specifically on the show. And now I kind of just have whoever I want.
I'm looking for my invite.
What?
I'm looking for the invite.
You're one of the good people. Okay, well we'll see.
I would
we'll
like to think so.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Anytime. And then I host a larger show called Basement Social. That's like house band, musicians, comics. I do that sparingly because I haven't really, it's a pop-up, but I haven't really found the place that I really like that I feel like supports me. Because at the last one that you came to,
yeah, that was awesome.
The owner was garbage.
I was going to say it with your chest.
He was really just like not a very like, it's one thing to be quick on emails mm-hmm. and to like have no punctuation mm-hmm. and be very short. Fine. Okay. Yeah. But if there's two shows a night. One never posted anything about our show on social. And I gave copy. I gave pictures and I was trying to be as kind as possible. You know, it's hard for venues to really post, but this is a special thing. And not the one advice I tell people is like, no one is going to care about your shit more than you are. And that's okay. Like, it's not a bad thing, but like, sure. Okay. He didn't want to post anything on socials, even though he was posting shows that were happening literally later that night. Cause there's always jazz at night. Mm-hmm. And other comedy shows. Okay, fine. But also, we are supposed to be done at 9 o'clock for jazz. First of all, jazz, get over it. Jazz doesn't start on time.
That's true.
And jazz doesn't need to start on time. Mm-hmm. The bartender came up to me at like 8:58 and was like, hey, the owner's looking in the cameras. He's on Cape Cod, first of all. He was looking in the bar cameras and saying, you guys need to be done in 2 minutes during Larry's set, during the last act set.
Uh-huh. And he's incredible.
Yeah, he's amazing. We've been friends for years. But I was like, that's rude.
Yeah.
That's rude mm-hmm. in the show. We are making you money. Mm-hmm. We literally went over the bar limit that we hit. Anyways, so I'm like, I'm not coming back here. I'm not bringing my good people, all those incredible people, including yourself, mm-hmm. who spent their Monday night to come to Brooklyn off the Marcy MZJ mm-hmm. to come see our show. I'm like, I'm not giving them a rushed ending to the show. Yeah. Like, no, don't. Don't fuck with the thing, like the show. Talk to me about that before. And he was like, you know, there is jazz afterwards. We would like you guys to stop. It's like, tell me it's a hard stop. I don't know. I'm just I get very protective over the show when it happens. Yeah. So those are the things that I do, plus like all the side jobs that I have. So what do I do outside of that I'm most proud of?
I mean, moving your sister's car could be one of them.
Yeah, moving my sister's car. Well, being an older sister, this is going to be very, not the answer that people want to hear. But, like, I think I'm proud of the way I take care of myself.
Okay.
That's outside of music. Yeah, I think that I, like, really try to give myself space to like start the day. I try to eat well. Mm-hmm. I try to exercise. Like, I truly try to take the time to think about interactions, and I really try to think about where I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. I try to think about like,
you're doing more work than a lot of people.
How I'm approaching. I don't do it all like well, maybe, but I try to think about that.
You gotta start somewhere.
Going for it.
You gotta start somewhere.
Oh, he's going back to the bottle. Yes, yeah, sweetie. So, but I do also outside of, and also I really try to, as we talked about before, like I don't have a really tight family unit. Mm-hmm. I have like a chosen family.
Okay.
And I really try to take care of those people and my friends and my sister too. Like I try to be as available as possible and I try to support them.
Almost to a fault sometimes, right?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what the fault would be. I think it's just like, life is trying to take care of yourself, be an honest person, try to like take care of the people you love and make them feel as good as possible and try to make fucking money. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know how to do that yet.
Here, especially here.
Yeah. So I think, and try to have fun. Somebody asked me the other day, so what do you do for fun? And I was like, well, I perform. They're like, no, that's what you're trying to be ambitious. Oh, yeah. It'll make you burp.
You set me up.
Yeah. No, the bubbles will burst.
Okay. What do you do for fun?
I don't know. I've tried to figure that out. So I'm working on that. I bought myself a Broadway ticket. I went to go see Stereophonic, which I talked about.
Tell me about that.
You guys, you should see it, especially if you're a music lover. Yeah.
Gave it away.
And it's kind of a Fleetwood Mac, because it takes place in the 70s. But you'll it only runs until like mid-August. So get on it.
Yeah,
So I did that. I went into Books Are Magic in Cobble Hill and I bought myself a book. Mm-hmm.
What book was it?
It's this book called Good Material.
Okay.
I don't know. I just was like, it was on the like middle table when you walk in and it said like a good book, like a book we or like a staff favorite or whatever. And I was like, okay, I'll get that. Yeah.
Give me all of them. Give me all the staff favorites.
So I don't know. I think I'm still trying to figure out what but also having like this, like one-on-ones mm-hmm. with friends, like going to coffee with a friend or a new friend, or like, hey, someone whose music I like one-on-ones or small groups. I like really, that like makes me feel really, really good. Or trying a new restaurant, going out to dinner and just like sharing conversation. And that's fun for me.
Okay. Yeah, I see that.
The longest answer in the world. I ramble, perfect. So you have to stop me.
you would be the best podcast host, and I'm seeing that now. Going back to where Basement Social was last time, I almost don't even want to name the place just because of how shitty they treated you.
I'm a bitter bitch.
I mean, you have a right to be bitter. Like, you're earning the money, and they're like, no, stop it.
It was strange.
Like, just the whole, like, I've been to Shane the Good People, and that's obviously a great show, but it's a lot more intimate. Mm-hmm. At Pete's Candy Store holds, what, that venue is like...
Like 15 like, people. Yeah.
I was going to say 30. I was going to overshoot it.
Oh.
but no, like, I, just seeing the contrast in energy from Shane the Good People to Basement Social, wherever it is, it's night and day.
Yeah.
And when I went to see you and Rachel in Pete's Candy Store, I was like, oh, this is like, oh, how nice. She's like a very acoustic girly. And then you start belting in Basement Social. I'm like, holy shit. Like, where was this?
Yeah, so the energy
night and day
switch, it was crazy. And I love that. I love that you get comedy involved too, because I also love comedy. And the people that you had on had me dying laughing. I thought it was kind of so like going to be like, I don't know why I thought this, but I thought it was going to be like clean comedy. And then all of a sudden, I'm hearing someone talk about how they were a toaster strudel.
That's right. That's right. Cinnabon.
Yeah, Cinnabon.
Yeah, Sleaze Traeger.
I was like, holy shit, this is hilarious. so that, like, I love that. In one spot, you can have like a very intimate, like close knit, super like close community, and then broaden it, and you can get a lot more wild and crazy.
Yeah.
And that's something I was like not expecting. And being there, I met, it was JJ's friend, Dana.
Yeah.
Was her name.
Yeah.
She was cool. Like, I just immediately started talking to people here and there, and it was just a really cool, like, setup and venue. Not that spot, though. Fuck that spot.
I know, but hearing you say that makes me feel really good. That, I mean, it's called Basement Social for a reason. Like, it started in a coffee shop basement when I lived up in Harlem in, like, 2017. Okay. And then I popped it around. I like the after hours coffee shop. I did like that space, and now it's making me feel like maybe I should just suck up my ego and just do it there, because it seemed like it did hold us very well, and it did have like the stage. They did have a small back line. Like, those are things as a producer you have to think about. But I want people to talk to each other. I want people to like, I want to get a call in like 5 years and be like, or a message on Instagram and be like, hey, Shayna, like, I'm getting married to this person we met at Basement Social.
That'd
like,
be cool.
I'm also like a hopeless romantic in that way of like, I want to create spaces where people can meet and talk, and it's not just like another show. Mm-hmm. Like, I think we're all really hungry for like new stuff and new experiences. And
that was definitely new for me.
Yeah. Cool. Mm-hmm. And yeah, New York allows you to be different types of performers if you are seeking that. And I like, I've been thinking about maybe dropping Shane the Good People because it is monthly and it does, and I do get to meet new people, and it is really great as just the business side of being an artist to say, to have a place where people can come see you no matter what. But
yeah,
the acoustic version and the solo version of myself isn't the highest expression of who I want to be.
Okay.
And I like the kind of full band, like rock goddess era, but also thanks. Well, but it's also expensive. And Pete's Candy Store is like cheap to free to do, which is great. So, I don't know. I'm trying to just see like what I'm just trying to get lucky, really, in like the career space. I mean, in sexually as well, but like in the career space. Yeah.
You gotta make sure that's out there too.
But I don't know. Yeah, it's cool to have both. I appreciate that you have been able to see me kind of in both ways, and also like no one's gonna. I don't expect anyone to just come off the street and give me a job. So I'm kind of trying to just, I feel like they are going to give me, I do get jobs from the stuff that I do, like being self-produced. So I'm like, I'm just trying to throw spaghetti at a wall and see what sticks.
Depends on what kind of sauce you have on it.
Right. Wait, are you Italian?
No.
Okay. But what kind of sauce do you like?
Oh man.
Red sauce, vodka sauce.
I mean,
pesto,
yeah, obviously.
Alfredo.
Alfredo is my usual go-to. I was obsessed with it when I was like,
really,
from like 10 to like 18. That was the only thing. I mean, even now, like I'll fuck up a bowl of fettuccine Alfredo with like grilled chicken.
Cacio Pepe. I don't know. Is that a white thing? I can't remember.
I mean, it sounds right. I'm not Italian enough to consider it correct or not.
But Alfredo, even just like a nice like warm Alfredo sauce like dip.
Yeah. Some garlic bread.
Yeah.
Just completely obliterate.
Well, I'm
any
so
kind of
hungry.
But yeah, I was going to ask you, you don't have to go into like specifics, but even being in Pete's Candy Store for that, I was like, what? Like, how much is it to host something like that?
Well, the cool thing about Pete's is they don't charge.
Really?
It's just kind of like a nice open door policy. Yeah, it's just like, I mean, I think they will ask you back if you happen to, you know, if the bar makes money that night, they're like, but it's really like shows start at 7 or 6 p.m. And then it goes all the way. The last show of the night is like 11, sometimes 11:30. And it's like really one of the last places in the city that you can just go and do your show and be yourself. And you get like 45 minutes. I mean, our show, we have like two slots. Because it's 8:30, music starts at 8. It's the second Tuesday of every month. It starts at 8:30, and we have to be down. But we have to be down by 10. And yeah, it's great. Like they give us drink tickets, but we also don't make any money. Like it's donation based, and sometimes, you know, it depending on the time of year, like who's on the show. Like I've been doing it for 2 years and haven't really been able to like. I was like hoping within 2 years we'd be like so big and so popular that we'd like, oh, we have to take it to Bell House. Like the room's crowded, but we're not there yet. We're not there yet. And sometimes we don't make I try to make sure that everybody on the set makes at least $20. But like sometimes the tip jar doesn't make enough, and I will just make sure that everybody gets paid, you know.
That's nice.
It's like, yeah, it's like at least $20. That's like, you know, Subway there and home and like maybe a slice of pizza. But I just, yeah. I tell everybody we split tips, but, you know, my policy for me, and I've never said this out loud, but like my policy is like everybody on the set, even if I don't make anything, everybody gets $20 at least, which is like, I wish I could give more.
Yeah. I mean, especially for a show that you're hosting, like you want not only people to come back, but performers to come back. I feel like that would be like the ideal scenario. Like,
yeah. Hey. I'd love for it to be a community, and I've been really wanting to have like a kind of a launch party. I mean, it's a little past the podcast, but like a podcast launch party or some kind of like gathering of like everyone who's ever been on Shay and the Good People in the past 2 years, like 50 people, because we have three. It used to be just two guests and then people start dropping. And so I was like, okay, we got to make it three because if somebody drops, we still have two performers. Yeah. But knock on wood, like people have not been dropping the show. But I want to have, thank you. But I want to have like a party, like a gathering of like, hey, you and your friends come, like maybe there'll be a performance. There'll be like QR codes for like, hey, can everybody go on their phone and just give the podcast a follow? Mm-hmm. And also just meet other people. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe I'll add name tags, like write your name and like when you did Shay and the Good People, and people don't remember, so I'll have like a list. You know when you go to weddings and you like look for your table, uh-huh. It'll be wow, nice. It'll be like
that. Was a good one.
Sorry, this is the first time I've ever done that. And then people have like on their name tag like when they did the show, and because I'm like wanted to, it would be cool to have like some kind of collective at some point, and mm-hmm. I also have this dream of like having a newsletter like just for the show, like hey, here's our upcoming show, also here's all the past guests and like what shows they have coming out and releases, and but I haven't gotten there yet. I've also wanted to start a Patreon for the podcast but also the show, mm-hmm. so you can kind of see the full performance of the show, or you can That's see cool. the live stream or watch it, but I'm not there yet. There's also I want to say this, but I don't want it to sound like I don't care, you know what, it's gonna sound cringe, but like I know there's more of my potential that I can hit, and sometimes I find myself struggling to max out my artist potential because I haven't figured out how to make enough money with my art, and so I have to supplement it. Mm-hmm. So I'm also working, like, I work for two catering companies. I bartend in a space. I travel with this group called Water Coolers. Right now I'm working part-time at a podcast and on their admin sales team. Like, I think, I can't tell if it's, like, this addiction to, like overworking, because that's what I saw my dad do.
Okay.
Like, full-time job, and then he always had, like, two other jobs and, like, terrified of money. Like, just terrified. And I think I have that. I also have student loans, but like I haven't figured out how to like drop something or slow down, but also I'm only investing my time in part-time things so I have the freedom for my art.
Yeah.
But I'm severely underpaid.
Yeah.
By that's, working.
That's also another thing.
You know,
I was just gonna straight up ask you, how the fuck do you manage all of this?
I don't know. I mean I'm going gray, like, very quickly, and I don't know. It's truly something I've just been used to. Like, I started working at Caribou Coffee when I was 14 and, like, would do that before, like, rehearsals because I did theater in school. Like, it's just also, I think, coming from, like, a chaotic home, like, you just know it's easy to balance a lot of stuff. But it is starting to get draining, I'm not going to lie. Like, I have been like applying for full-time jobs or like this one job that I work for, it potentially could go full-time, and I told them like I would take it. Mm-hmm. And like I have worked a full-time job before. I worked at a solar panel company like over the pandemic. I got it like at the end of 2020. Mm-hmm. That was like 9 to 5 remotely, but I had to be on the phone, and I was so burnt out from that. Mm-hmm.
You're just on call all the time.
Yeah. And then I quit that and got this like really great like events catering job at a hotel in Soho. And that was like booming. And I was able to do that a couple days a week and make a lot of money. And then their business kind of got slower and slower and in the summer. And so I don't know. But I also
trying to match you.
Nice, dude. That was good. I also don't know if my brain is like, I just don't know if I've gotten an inspirational hit, or I've seen another artist who's making a lot of money somewhere and I'm like, oh, I should do that. Besides Patreon, people have been talking about that, but like, I don't know if I have like a smart enough business mindset of like, here's how you make like $4,000 a month from this, and you get to perform, and you're only really working like 10, 20 hours a week. Mm-hmm. You know, I just,
that's
like,
the dream right there.
Yeah. Right. So I don't know. I haven't figured out how to do things differently yet. I think it's slowly going, and you know, ideally you get like a sick like sync placement for a song on like a commercial that runs through the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And then you make Cha-ching. Your $500,000 that year. Yeah. But mm-hmm. again, that's not like sustainable, but no, then not. You could take that and like, then I have a small chunk for like a business idea. But again, with the business, you know, like at least then it's like, I don't have to be catering, but or you get, you know, on the road. Like I'm like working on a new album in August, and then you can get on tour and maybe make some money off the tour for merch, or have like a newsletter and have like some kind of like a fan plan, you know, like what's the plan to like really cultivate the fan base to like, just like Taylor Swift's fans, like make people feel really genuinely really loved and appreciated. And like, because you're a fan of Shayna Blass or Basement Social, you get like stuff, or like you, there's like a, like, I don't know.
It's defining the stuff and things that.
Yeah. I don't know if tricky. I'm just like the best. I don't know if I'm like a good capitalist.
Well, maybe not, but I feel like that's not I feel like that's not the worst thing to not be.
I also don't know if it's my job to do
that's
that.
That's a really good like piece of self-awareness.
I think it might just, I think I'm getting also getting to a place of like just doing what I can. This is the way I know how to make money now. And I'm like working towards the blending, you know, the balance of like, I want to be so busy with my music and my art and like maybe some acting again and theater and or concerts or, you know, wedding bands or something, that the other stuff just literally just has to fall away. Like no choice, but to, I actually don't have time to cater. Or if somebody else comes along, like, I have a manager right now, but like an agent or somebody who's like, or even a business partner, like who has that type of
like moxie.
Yeah. Not even moxie, but like, that's how they look at the world. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily look at the world like that. And they're like, oh, can come along. Like, I'm a really big ideas person creatively, but like if someone who has like a big idea, who's a big ideas person business wise, and can be like, let's look at like your marketing and like, let's look at like how you're pitching yourself. Like, maybe I just think there's some more delegating and some more letting go.
Let it out.
No, I'm a woman. stop. Who can kind of like see what I can't see. Mm-hmm. And I have to stop trying to see what I can't see, you know, like, how dogs can like hear different sounds. Like, stop trying to hear what dogs hear.
Yeah.
Like, let's let a dog, let somebody else hear it and help, you know?
That's a really good point. And I think it's, again, a very important like piece of self-awareness, being like, maybe my brain isn't wired to really like capitalize on like, I guess, fandom.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's what Taylor Swift does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she has a fucking team. She didn't. Yeah. I don't think she thought of all the bracelets.
No,
come
definitely
on.
Not. Yeah, she might have. She might have.
Made it, maybe, but that doesn't make her any less of who she is. Yeah. Like, she's she writes these incredible songs. It comes up with this very relatable content, but I'm sure someone on the team was like,
what if we try this?
Or she was like, what about, like, she's like, this is crazy, but, like, what about a bracelet? And someone was like, great. Bingo. So here's what we're gonna do, here's how we're gonna have them, here's where we're gonna set them up, here's how you're gonna promo that, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't think one person can think of all little options. Why, like,
that's too much on the brain, especially when you're already a creative trying to write songs, write music that not only you relate to, but you want other people to relate to in their own way.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't written a new song in a while because I've been like looking for an apartment and like trying to like just, I've just been working non-creative things and you need a little bit of space for, sometimes you don't. Like, that's what I like about biking. Of like, yeah, I've been working on this one song with JJ for a while and I can just be on my bike like, and like just kind of like let that, as I'm like, you know, just let
you're
that
like
go
riffing through, just trying to find something, yeah, like a melody that fits or yeah, lyrics that fit.
And it's not like walk, I mean you can do this walking around, but it's less weird to like be on a bike and just humming the chorus over and over again or singing out loud over and over and over again. Like there's something about like, because you're using your breath differently on the bike too, but
it's also got to be a lot more freeing
being, yeah,
on a bike and doing that.
Yeah,
so again, main character moment,
honey. She's an Aries Jewish woman. What is it not main character?
Oh, that's funny. I was going to ask you, your band.
Yeah.
How'd you find JJ?
We, JJ's wonderful guitar player. He was playing in my friend Jackson Perrin's band when I first moved back to New York in like 2022. So I would go see Jackson and JJ would be in the band and we'd just chat with everybody. And then there were these jams in Ridgewood called The Presence. And it was like in the back of, I wouldn't say Topo Chico, but no, there's like a punk rock venue. Starts with a T. Over in Ridgewood, like Ridgewood Bushwick, and it was like this long studio in the back of this venue that was also the back of a beer garden, or like it was just really fucking cool. And they would start at like 10 and go to like 3 or 4 in the morning, and JJ would be there and we would chat. And then I remember I had, what was it? I think I booked like a full band at Rockwood One kind of in the first year that I got back in that spring in 2022. Because I moved to New York 2017, left 2020 during the pandemic, came back 2022 to Brooklyn. And JJ and I were just going over songs in my living room. And one of my roommates popped out and she was like, "You guys sound amazing." Like, and I barely saw her and we never really chatted. And she like was only there for a couple months and then moved out because she got a job in Cleveland. But, and I was like, okay, just something about her tone was like, I was like, okay, there's, and I loved working with him too. But like, we definitely, from then on, I just tried to like any gig that I had, I just asked him to play with me. And then he got asked to do a duo at Flatiron Room in Murray Hill on a Saturday in July, and he asked me to sing with him. And what are you looking at the time?
No, I was checking this.
Okay. And so we did that last July, and the like sound guy Booker was like, "Oh my god, you guys sound amazing." Like, again, that kind of like,
just like that,
huh? When you see people catch something that you did, that you don't know,
and it sounds like, it doesn't sound superficial. Like, it sounds
totally
genuine.
And like, I just didn't pick up on it. And then we just started doing this gig, and we still do it every Saturday, 5:30 to 8:30, and we're just, they have a stage, but it's a restaurant, so it's like a restaurant gig. But we, when we start at 5:30, there's like maybe one table. Mm-hmm. So we just started improvising, and I would either come in with like a melody or a chorus or some words or something I wanted to sing about. And I'd say like, "Hey, can we do like a G7? Or I would just give them a chord to start with and like, and a tempo, and we would just go. And I just like,
that's awesome.
Yeah. I feel really supported by him as a performer, as a friend. We've just gotten so close because we also, the venue or the restaurant feeds us during, we have 3 sets And between set two and three, we get dinner. So I'm like, we've been playing together for every Saturday, almost every Saturday for a year. And we've been having dinner together every Saturday. So it's like, how many of your friends do you get to like just play with and then get to like break bread with?
Yeah.
Like, it just felt really special.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's really special.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's how we met. And that's how we play. And I like, part of, I mean, he's so talented, like
yeah.
so crazy good. Like yeah. a part of me and like my anxious attachment is like one day, like someone like more rich and like more famous than me is like going to take him away from me.
Far ahead.
Hello, I know I'm a future tripper. That's my main flaw. That's the only flaw I have.
People watch this like, all right, taking notes.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, the future tripping. But I think, you know, I hope that he feels as, I hope it's mutual. I hope he feels as supported mm-hmm. by me as like I really have felt supported by him in like musicality. And like, I know if I fuck up somewhere musically or in the song, like he'll swing back or he'll support me. And also we just like have very similar tastes, so we've like written a couple of songs together. And
very nice.
Yeah. So,
yeah. I was sitting in Basement Social and just watching him riff, and I'm like,
he's insane.
I turned to Dana. I was like,
yeah. And they've been friends forever too, and she's been really supportive. We play Groove now. We've like, hopefully they're having us back like once a month.
Mm-hmm. That's like Soho, like
that's in West Village.
I used to work over there.
Yeah, the next one.
I worked
one.
On Bleecker Street.
Oh, sick. Okay, yeah. Yeah, our next one's July 21st, and then October 8th, we're there.
Okay.
And that's so fun because it's full band, and we just, I mm-hmm. try to, like, we do mostly covers, but, like, I just try to rock as hard as I can. And that feels like the highest expression of myself, but.
Yeah, so then I'm definitely going out there.
Come do it.
You said July 21st?
Yeah, I'll text you.
All right.
Wait,
I've always walked past that place, and I, for some reason, never walked in.
Yeah, it's like seems so old school because it is, but it is like it's really special, and also like I mean the 21st is a Sunday. Like we played a Thursday, a Friday, and now we're playing a Sunday. I'm like, I don't know who's gonna be there, but you know what? One person, 1 million persons, people, everyone gets the same show.
Yeah, good.
So.
That's a star right there.
Honey, main character, star.
Always.
Single, how's that possible?
yeah, I was a doorman over there for a while.
Oh.
For a couple of years.
Doorman? You're too nice to be a doorman.
They loved me.
Yeah,
they loved
course,
me.
Of course. Hopefully no one would like fuck around because you were just so nice.
I was chill. I was like a doorman on top of porter, on top of mechanic. Unofficially.
Wow. He can do it all. But underpaid.
Yeah, definitely.
But what are you doing now? Because you've been literally this cliffhanger.
Tiptoeing around
yeah,
it.
Yeah, holler.
So I feel like I've brought it up so much. I went to Charlotte and all of my friends were asking me what I do and I had to bring it up and I'm about to have the same conversation. Do you know the cemetery over there?
Uh-huh.
I work in there.
Okay.
I'm a grave digger.
Okay.
That's my occupation.
Oh, great.
My title.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be something fun.
That's not fun?
Well,
no, it's not fun.
Well, we're sitting here in the middle of the day on a Wednesday, mm-hmm. and I'm like, okay, he can, like, hang out at 2, do an interview at 2, like, must have some cool, like, remote gig.
You want to know something funny?
What?
I would be at work right now. I'm on vacation.
Wow, PTO so from the graves.
From the graves, yeah.
PTO from the grave.
I took
okay,
off.
Okay, cool.
Last Thursday, started my vacation Friday, and then I'm off until the 8th. So this was a perfect time to get the podcast.
Amazing.
Done.
I feel like that's a job AI is not going to take.
Oh, definitely not. unless they.
That's good security.
Yeah, they engineer the robots to, or the machines to do that.
Yeah, I'm surprised they don't have like. Bulldozers doing that.
Oh, they do.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, so there's excavators there. We're off topic. I might cut this out.
No, this is fascinating. We're all going to the ground, so let's figure out how we're going to get there.
There's excavators there and there's a guy that operates them.
Okay.
But we're in charge of moving materials so that the grass doesn't get messed up and all that stuff. But the excavators don't, like, have a spot that they can dig. We have to dig it ourselves.
Wow.
So I was working there for 3 weeks. Well, 2 weeks. And then they walked up to me. I was only there seasonally from April to October.
That those are the most deaths or something?
No, no, no. So it was only going to be seasonal work. Like, that is cutting grass and making sure the cemetery looks nice.
Oh, okay.
And then they bring in seasonals to see if they want to work full time.
Oh.
So 2 weeks in, I was lucky enough to be asked. And I said yes. And after... They put you through a 40-day trial, and I have the picture on my phone. I'll show you. But they make you dig a 5-foot hole by yourself, and that's the first or second hardest thing I've ever done in my entire life, the other being a half marathon in Central Park that I need to run a full in. but
running and digging graves. Yeah, I mean, that sounds intense.
Both are very much endurance-based.
How do you protect your back? Strong core.
I'd like to think so. I'd like to think so. There's, when I first started, I was there for probably 2 weeks. I would wake up, go to work, come home, shower, immediately pass out. Because it was so just draining. And I was there, I started in May in the grave department. And most of it is like learning how to pick up plywood. Like, not a lot of people know how to like properly pick it up.
No idea.
You gotta let it fall.
Like this?
Yeah, you gotta let it fall to you and then lean it on your shoulder. But yeah, I did that, and then after 40 days, they're like, "All right, it's your turn." And then if the guys around you like you, like if you're a good person, you're not like a weirdo, they'll give you a hand. There's one guy that I'm not gonna say his name, but he was one of the guys that we had like boulders in the hole, like there was big ass rocks that are in there, and he was one of the guys that like jumped in and helped me toss it out.
Oh my god.
That's something I'll never forget, because without that, like, I would have to use a pickaxe and break the rock and then toss it out like piece by piece, and that would take up time. They want you to do it in less than 4 hours because they start you at 8 o'clock, and by the time it gets to lunchtime, they're like, "All right, if you don't have this done, like, it's like off chance that you're in."
I can't do that. There's no women who work there.
There's women that work there, but not in the grave department.
In
like
the
they'll
office.
Do.
My stepmom worked in the office of a cemetery.
Really?
Yeah.
Which one?
I don't know. It's in Maryland.
Oh, okay. I thought you were gonna say somewhere in Brooklyn. I was like,
no. They don't live in Brooklyn. No, my dad's never. He's like going on a cruise with her, but they like don't come to New York to see. They don't come to New York. Okay. So yeah. Boulders.
Boulders. Yeah. So. There no girls that work in the cemetery.
Yeah.
So there are women that work in the cemetery, but not in the grave department. They'll do like horticulture work. They'll do like tree work. And there's like administrative jobs.
Yeah.
That they do. There's some of them there that want to be in the grave department, and I got really lucky because they're not really hiring grave diggers anymore. Well, at least for now.
Yeah.
I know they're gonna need more. Because it seems like we're understaffed for some days.
Yeah.
Like, we'll have 4 or 5 burials in a day, and there's only 4 or 5 guys that are there.
Wow.
And you need 2 people to a job. So either we're pulling from different departments, or we're dealing with it
over
ourselves.
Over time.
Yeah. So.
Whoa.
I mean, it's something.
It's quiet over there.
It's very quiet over there. Like, I messed up one time. I was playing music off my phone. And my foreman came by, and he's like, he is what he is. Like, I'm not gonna fault him for being the way he is, because he grew up in a different time in the cemetery. He's been there forever. But I was playing, I think, Metallica off my phone, and it was the end of the day. It was
That's
like
very cemetery though.
Yeah, it was like 3:45, and he pulled up just to see how we were doing. He goes, "Oh, some respect you have," and I'm like, "What do you want me to do?" Like, it's dead silent in this place. I don't want to, like, I don't want to work. Like, I work my best when I'm listening to music. And I think, like, most people do. People that like music, they don't want to work in silence.
I'm like, "What do you mean respect? There's no one
They're
here.
They're already in the ground.
They're dead." And what if, like, the person you're working next to, you're digging a hole next to like freaking loved Metallica.
I mean, there's guys that share similar music tastes.
I meant the dead people.
Maybe. We have burials from like 1800 there. So.
Wow. Do you ever see any spooky stuff? Spooky, spooky.
I'll tell you.
Ghosty,
after.
Ghosty.
I'll tell you.
Off
after.
Air.
Yeah.
Cool.
You're welcome. Anybody in Greenwood watching?
or it could be like they can hear it on the Patreon.
Yeah, it'll be on the Patreon.
The ghost story.
You got to pay for that. But yeah, that's what I do, and it's
cool.
It's strange.
Yeah.
It's always my favorite icebreaker because whenever I talk to people, I'm like, "Oh, what do you do?" And they'll tell me like, "Oh, I work in finance," or like,
yeah,
"I do,
yes.
I do like." Like, I'll work in, like, Sephora or, like,
Sephora.
Like, oh, like, what do you do? Like, oh, I'm a gravedigger. And they're like, you're a murderer. I'm going to leave now. Because that,
like,
for
no,
some reason, that's the initial thought.
Yeah, I don't
they're like,
get
oh,
that.
Have you buried anybody that you've killed? I'm like, no.
You're like, not yet.
keep testing me.
Right.
Keep testing me.
That's weird. You're like, no, it's just a
it's
just
literally
a digging job.
I work probably
you
the
work
same hours that you do.
Basically construction.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm in a union. That's the whole thing.
Yeah. That's funny. My brain didn't go there, but maybe that's because I'm crazy.
Just use it. Whatever.
I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, I thought it was going to be something like you were going to work for like, I don't know, some like crazy person or like
just work for a mobster.
Yeah, kind of like that or like
I dispose of the bodies in the
cemetery.
Yeah,
like the Epstein estate or
oh,
something.
Jesus Christ.
That you're like, I can't tell people.
No. No, definitely not.
No, that I feel like that's an honorable job.
For the most part, I've learned that it's a job that not a lot of people think of. Because whenever you're at a cemetery for a funeral, you're not thinking about the workers. You're thinking about the deceased and their family.
And it's hopefully a place you're not going to all the time, a cemetery, hopefully. And also you just don't see, you know, it's like we pass people working jobs around the city all the time.
Yeah.
But like cemeteries are also super isolated. So.
Yeah.
And also death is very scary and people don't want to think about it, including myself.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it sucks.
Yeah.
I'm like, but there's so much stuff I want to see and do, and I don't want to die. That's like, I don't know if I'll be able to do everything.
Mm-hmm. I feel like no one ever has enough time to do everything I ever want.
Yeah, unless you're Beyonce.
Yeah, or Taylor Swift. Mm-hmm. What? Completely shifting the topic. We're gonna just get off the topic. Of death. What music do you listen to when you're by yourself?
I was thinking about this as I was biking over here. I was like, fuck, I hope he doesn't ask me what music I like to listen to. I have just been like obsessed with podcasts right now.
Okay.
Like I have a YouTube addiction. Mm-hmm. I don't like do drugs or alcohol, but I just watch YouTube all day.
I
am. And like, I'm addicted to like hearing like sounds. Mm-hmm. But if I am doing music right now, I like just binge Lizzie McAlpine.
Okay.
Like, Sad Girl Summer music is my shit.
Gotcha.
Even though, like, the song, the music that I grew up with, like, 60s and 70s, soul and rock and tons of Beatles and, like, Led Zeppelin.
I almost wore my fucking Beatles shirt today.
Really?
Yeah.
I know. I saw this in your Paul McCartney book.
Yeah.
But right now, I really listen to, like, I'm just listening to her new album over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. I also have like, will kind of loop this one playlist that I have of like female soul singers, because I really only like female voices on soul, even though there are so many right now. That's just what I'm binging of, like, mm-hmm. Irma Thompson and, you know, Aretha and Betty Swan and Candy Stanton, like old school.
I had Aretha up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or I thought I did. I also have Etta James. You need that. Go ahead. The entire collection is in that.
Nice.
In that thing.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm also like really looking, just like scouring the internet and Instagram of like bands that I like and bands that are opening for them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll start with like
same thing.
Lake Street Dive, and then I'll go and Raylan Baxter and this DC band that I kind of started music, because I'm from DC originally. They're like huge now. They're called Oh He Dead, and they were opening for The Dip, which is
sick
band out of Seattle. And like seeing who opens for them, and I listen to them, and also then I just have my manager email, like I listen to their music, kind of binge all their music, and then I have my manager like write to them to see if I can open for them. Mm-hmm. Like that's kind of what I'm doing right now, just try to get on the road.
Good, like.
Yeah, no one said yes, but
I mean, but you gotta shoot your shot for it.
Exactly,
to hit.
You just need one person mm-hmm. to say yes. Mm-hmm.
I did want to tell you it's 3:44.
Yeah. Okay. Wait, let me pause. You can cut this, but let me see if we're still doing the meeting. One of my day jobs, but
get them on the podcast.
I know. They didn't say they're canceling it, so isn't that so? Would it be annoying if we pause and then came back on?
No, we can do that.
Let me see what she says. My love has come along. My lonely days are over, and life is like a song. Oh, yeah, at last. Okay, wait, this is horrible to like what? Take a Zoom meeting. We could just pause and come back to it.
Okay.
Okay, let's pause. We're going to pause here. Okay. Wow. Okay. Meeting false alarm. We both emptied our bladders, mm-hmm. not the same time, and then we have new Topo Chicos. I just had to clarify.
Where were we?
We're starting.
We were talking about music, Lizzie McAlpine.
Oh yeah, the music that I was listening to. Mm-hmm. So that's really what I'm binging, and then just new people like. Torres. I'm listening to. She's pretty rock. She's rock and roll.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Funny story. I went to Renee Rapp in. Where was I? Terminal
five.
Mm-hmm. She brought out Lizzie McAlpine.
Really?
Yeah, and she did a song from Wicked. I forgot what. What?
Oh, the duet, I'm sure.
Probably.
Yeah. So if you dare to find me. Yeah, that's wild. I mean, I think Lizzie lives here.
Does she?
Yeah. She's a New Yorker. Or I don't know if she's a New Yorker.
Come on the pod.
Oh, shit. Come on my pod first, bitch.
Yeah, do her pod.
Actually, both.
do you want to start a podcast?
Both of us, yeah. We just merge it. Will and Shay and the Will people.
Needs a tweak.
Yeah. But. I'm like, how do we combine both of our names? Yeah. Well, what makes
people?
You so interested in music? Why do you want to do a music podcast?
That's a really good question.
Thank you.
I think from a young age, I was introduced to like Motown and the Beatles are my favorite band growing up. I attribute that to my dad. Like he listened to everything growing up. My brother is not so much a music guy. And my sister-in-law is like a huge music person. So it's,
yeah.
I don't know, just like I'll watch videos on YouTube of like old performers doing their thing. And I'm like, I feel like this is the purest form of like, it's going to sound so fucking corny, but like the purest form of like self-love.
Mm.
And like, I love seeing people enjoy what they do.
Yeah.
Like, and music, there's just something about it that pulls at my heartstrings. Like, let me see if I can find.
That's really cool. Yeah. I don't think that's cheesy at all. And have you, like, have you been to performances where you can tell, like, I don't think they want to be there. Or they're not in it. Or they don't have that star power or something.
Mm-hmm. Definitely not, like, people that are there and they don't really have the star power. the top of my head.
Well, obviously don't say their name, but they're like very specifically Lady Gaga.
No, she's got it.
No, she's fucking got it, yeah.
But no, like I'll go to live performances as much as I can. Like my first show this year was Black Pumas.
Cool.
In Radio City. They were fucking
incredible.
What's
the last show? What's the most recent show you've seen?
Gary Clark Jr. He was at Radio City also.
Do you go to a lot of like, I mean, he's amazing.
Yeah.
Do you go to a lot of like small, like local shows?
Yeah, I try to. It's funny. I went to see Rachel at Fraser Studios.
Oh, cool.
She did like a really, really small show.
Nice.
Fraser Sound Studios. I was gonna like put, like not put you onto them, but like if you can find a way to get to like a Fraser Sound Studio show.
Yeah.
Or even just to go. You don't even have to perform.
Cool.
The atmosphere in there is one of the most unique and sensational, like just feelings of people vibing to music, playing music. It's an apartment building in Williamsburg.
Oh.
It is.
I've never heard of it.
It's not well known. It's not like a huge thing, but I think his name is Colin Fraser.
Cool.
This dude and his roommates, they have it down. Whatever the feeling of like live music, like trying to make it, they have it down to a T.
Wow.
It was incredible. I have videos on my phone. I'll show you.
And is there something about, this is purely curiosity, mm-hmm. because I met you because Rachel Rose played my show. She's a great musician, like gorgeous, beautiful songwriter. But you've been to multiple shows of hers. Like, do you as a fan feel, is there something that she's doing that like pulls you in or makes you feel like, oh, I can't wait to go see her again?
I think authenticity.
Mm.
She's very genuine in her songwriting. And I feel like a lot of people are. And I feel like I've been to enough Rachel Rose shows to be like.
You're a fan.
Yeah.
Does she like acknowledge you every time you come in the room? Does she like, hey, it's so good to see you? Okay, cool. So she like makes you feel like she knows who you are and she's happy that you're here. Yeah. Okay, cool.
I went to a show in Brooklyn Bowl and it was for Women That Rock.
Yeah.
And that show was crazy.
Yeah.
And
I'm trying to get on that show.
It was phenomenal. But I knew Rachel Rose. She was on that. Rozzy was on that. I don't know if you're familiar with Rozzy.
No.
So she
I didn't know any of the three other women.
So she did a couple of videos with Scary Pockets.
Oh, yeah.
On YouTube.
Uh-huh.
And, like, some of the craziest covers that
you've
heard.
They're really, their arrangements are wild.
Yeah. And I went there. I was like, she walked through the crowd. I was like, listen, I need to tell you. Like, I've been watching your stuff and like listening to your stuff since whatever year it was.
Yeah.
She's like, oh my God, that's so nice. And I'm like, just seeing somebody from screen to stage was really, really cool for me.
Yeah.
And then Hayes Warner was the last one to go.
Mm-hmm.
She covered Just a Girl by No Doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And like put her own spin on it. She had a girl come on and rap on it. And that was a cool vibe. She was really, really good. And going back to your point, like, do I go to a lot of live performances? And I do. And being at that show, I was like, yeah, this is what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
I think the other girl was Bryn something. She was on American Idol, I think.
Unmemorable. You remember the other girl's first and last name?
I did. Well, it's a little frayed because during that, while the concert was on, the Rangers were on. And they were in the playoffs. So like while Bryn was on, I was like,
I know.
And they went to overtime. I was like, I can't really listen to music right now.
But like, you're an honest man.
As nice as I can like possibly say it, I need to watch this. They ended up winning. So I was like, all right, let me see what this girl's all about.
Oh, that's funny. The last guy I was dating. I had a show, like a really small show in Bushwick during the Super Bowl.
Bad day.
He came to the show. Nobody came to the show.
Did
it
he
was
have
just
the phone up.
He had the phone. I wasn't even mad at him.
It's real.
I was just like, go ahead, babe. It's fine.
It's real. I have.
It was literally like the all the performers, all the girls, and like their boyfriends at the show. That was it. It was really.
I'm surprised they didn't all go to a corner of the room and be like, listen, we're going to watch the Super Bowl. Like, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. This is like, that's okay.
This is how far it goes back.
Of course. It is like, well, no, you know, no one can hear you at the moment.
I was hoping you could read
it. Okay, the only reason Will is into sports is because of his dad. Because of his dad. He got this. Oh, you got to bring this on camera. You got to show this on camera. He brought
this. This is where it starts. I was born in 98. This is a 94 Stanley Cup team picture.
Born in 98.
Yeah. I'm waiting for you to call me a baby.
I'm not saying anything. Because if you're a baby, then I don't know what that makes me.
No, but like, I have as much love for music.
He has as much love for music as...
I have as much love for music as I do for sports and New York sports, even though they tear my heart out every single year.
It's good to have that emotional range, though, as a man.
a lot of guys don't have it.
You're telling me, honey. I'm dating them. No.
So, yeah, going back to your point, I go to live music as much as I can.
Cool.
I'm going to see Aaron Frazier in October. He's very good. He signed to Easy Eye Records.
It's, I don't know who
Dan Auerbach.
Okay.
Black Keys.
Okay. Got it.
Started his own recording studio.
Cool.
And now he produces the most insane group of people, like people of all colors and creeds. And
cool.
He's producing all these, and they all sound phenomenal. And then I'm going to see Nothing But Thieves in October as well, the day after.
Cool.
So, yeah. And
brilliant.
If it wasn't. Oh, I'm also going to see. I just bought the tickets today. Remy Wolf. Do you know Remy Wolf?
Love.
She's doing an acoustic show in Rough Trade in the city. Tickets are like $30.
That's amazing.
You got to be there.
That's why New York is amazing. Because you just can, like, you get to see these people and you get to see your. Even, like, comedy shows. I remember seeing, like, a crazy lineup. When I first moved to New York, 2017, I moved January 3rd, and then in February, Michael Che just posted on a Instagram story, hey, I'm only selling like 40 tickets to this Planned Parenthood fundraiser, and tickets were $20, and it was like Michael Che, John Mulaney, Colin Quinn, Amy Schumer, Leslie,
I don't like her,
Leslie Jones. I love Amy Schumer. I know I'm the last one, but Leslie Jones, Lena Dunham, like came on and did like,
what the hell?
Yeah. She was like
a motley crew of comedians.
I know. Did like a story. It was actually hilarious. And she was like this. She acknowledged, she was like, I don't know why I'm here. This is so uncomfortable, but
best.
It was fun. It was really funny. Mm. And Leslie Jones was fucking brilliant.
Yeah, she kills every time.
Kills. And I already knew that, but
seeing it in person.
Yeah,
like,
and
wow.
Colin Jost, of course. Like, it was crazy. We didn't know the lineup. It was just like a...
Just a
fundraiser. All proceeds go to... Yeah, at the old Knitting Factory in Williamsburg.
Okay.
Nice. So good. It was so good.
Did Che and Jost do, like, the write jokes for each other?
They did. They were just, like, on stage together, like, doing banter and, like...
They're so good.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure Davidson was also there.
Jesus.
Yeah, it was crazy, but that's really fun to be a fun reason to be in New York. Yeah. Live in the greatest city in the world.
It's truly the best. I went to Charlotte, and I love that place. I would consider moving there.
Why'd you go there?
I have friends out there.
Oh, okay.
But there's, like, maybe not so much for you because you're sober girly. But there's breweries all over the place.
Yeah, so we got just kidding.
We got
there's a lot of non-alcoholic beers happening now. Like,
yeah.
So every single, like, it feels like every single company is capitalizing on non-alcoholic options, which is cool.
The first one I saw was Heineken, and I'm like, I don't like Heineken enough to drink, to get drunk. And I'm
I used to, I've never even,
this is the best you could do? This is the best the beer, the
Heineken
beer industry
Zero.
Could do?
Yeah, whatever. But it's also like, I don't really care about that, but I know like people who used to drink who don't drink anymore, like sober, like to at least look like they're drinking something, when I don't really, I don't really care.
Just make like a mocktail.
Like, give me a Topo Chico. And your girl's good.
I'm going to be sponsored by the end of the podcast. Just the amount. You wish. you wish.
Amazing. Sponsorship, that's another thing I like don't know about and would like to look into. But, okay, Charlotte. You like Charlotte?
Yeah. Great place. But like even going there, like I felt like I was missing out not being here.
Yeah, I don't think that's ever going to go away.
It's not.
I know. I'm taking myself to Italy in September. Just doing like a solo
trip. You're doing
trip.
A solo Italy trip? And you're not Italian?
No. Ashkenazi Joe. I might be Italian by the end of it, though. And I think, like, even when I think about living in other places or as excited as I am, and people are like, you're not, all the girlies are like, you're not going to come back. You're not going to come back. You're not going to want to come back. You're going to find your husband and you're not going to want to come back.
That's a very good Cali Valley girl.
Yeah. Or like someone who lives in, like, you know, Park Slope.
Well, hey.
What? Hey. You're in Paris.
No, that's not too off.
Yeah, I was thinking, I was like, we already talked about Williamsburg. I can't say Williamsburg. I can't say Ridgewood, Bushwick. That's like a Bushwick girl. Oh my God, you're going to go and you're not going to come back. I'm like, I'm going to come back because I'm paying rent. But
yeah, you got to come back.
But I think no matter what, no matter where else I would live after New York, I don't know if I'm going to live in New York forever. I have no idea.
Yeah,
some people
really does.
Some people really do. They're like, no, I'm going to be here forever.
Have fun scraping together rent or buying a house.
But I don't know. Maybe they work for, like,
they do
you
good
know.
Good for them.
JP Morgan or something.
Lucky bastards.
But, yeah. But I still think I will always, I just always think there's going to be FOMO or, like, missing. But you're lucky that you have family. Your whole family lives here, so you have a free place to stay.
Yeah.
No matter where you go in the world.
I think, and he hasn't talked to me about this, but I think my brother's going to end up moving to Jersey. Because my sister-in-law has family out there. Like, they moved out there from Brooklyn. My sister-in-law's family is enormous.
Moving to Jersey? Come on, guys. Be original.
It's the armpit of America, too. Like,
oof. Just lost half your listeners.
They'll get over it.
All four of them.
Sorry, Matt.
Yeah, Charlotte. I could see you there.
Don't tempt me, because then I'm gonna have to.
I could see you could do that. Start a music venue down there. Like,
I probably could.
A little bar with music,
like, there
and
of, like, crazy big music venues out there.
Yeah, I could totally see you doing that, and like, you would make it a cool place. You'd make sure people get paid and fed and all that stuff. But
if I hit the lottery.
What else do you, okay, so you go to see music and you're a grave digger and your family lives here.
Mm-hmm.
What else do you do? You know, and all your friends live here. Like, what else do you get into? Like, you live in your hometown, which is wild because it's Brooklyn.
Do you want to know what my, like, schedule looks like?
Yeah, or just, like, what do you do for fun? But I know you go to see music.
Yeah, I go to see music.
Are you dating? Are you on the apps?
Active? No, I'll never do the apps again.
Okay.
Just because they're so saturated.
Yeah.
I'd rather just go out and meet people.
Yeah, yeah.
At Basement Social.
That's right.
Monday, I think I'm clear. I'll probably read or, like, listen to music or fuck around, do nothing. Tuesday, I bowl. So yesterday, I bowled.
Are you on a team?
I am.
Cool.
A lot of people in the cemetery, too.
That's so,
like,
cute.
So Wednesday and Thursday, me and my friends will play softball. We're supposed to, or I thought we were supposed to have a game. You piece of shit light.
The light.
yeah, I'll play softball on, like, Wednesday or Thursday.
Okay.
And then the rest of the week is really just planning on shit I want to do.
Yeah.
When's
therapy?
No, it's a valid question. I used to go to therapy a little bit. Yeah. And that makes me better than every other guy who hasn't.
Hello. What are these girls doing? How are you single? I'm so confused.
I don't know. I'm conflicted. I got it at my last relationship was last September.
Mm-hmm.
And like I really was just at a point where I was like, I knew this person wasn't right for me. I still like have love for them. I care about them.
Mm-hmm.
But it just wasn't like, it wasn't end game.
It wasn't it.
You know, still have love for that family too.
Sure. Of course. You don't have to say that. I know you're a good guy. Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah. Can you hear me?
You don't
can
have
anybody
to have
hear
that
me?
That's a caveat.
But no, like I'll when I go out, like I want to hang out with my friends and
yeah.
I think I just want something to happen like organically.
And it will.
And that's
absolutely.
Like what's meant for me is going to make its way to me.
Yeah.
So, I'm not really like rushing. I'm not in that mindset where I have to go out and get laid every single day.
Yeah, not
anymore. I think that's important.
Yeah, but also the thing is that I think a lot of people are missing. I don't think it's just men. I think a lot of people are missing
companionship.
Community. Yeah, and companionship. And like, it's like that sometimes people are dating to fill a hole or they're just like, mm-hmm. they just really need someone and
definitely
and,
guilty of that
and yeah I mean me too and mm-hmm. like the but the more you get to know yourself and the more that you are but also a lot of people may have a big friend group that they're like this doesn't actually feel nourishing it's just like mm-hmm. I need people to hang out with and yeah. I don't have people I can be vulnerable with or mm-hmm. actually say like I'm not doing well mm-hmm. and have somebody be like great I'm coming over you know
yeah.
And or family or something. So they're like, we'll just get a partner because then I'll like have someone to do or yeah. like.
And that's not.
Yeah.
It never works out.
Nah.
So yeah, that's what I do.
Cool.
And then on Sundays, I'll play more. No, I'll play more softball.
Okay, great.
My arm is going to be obliterated by the time I'm 30.
I know, between softball
and
grave digging
and
bowling.
Well, I'm a two-handed bowler, so it doesn't really like.
Through the legs?
Logistically, I'm trying to figure out how that would even work. No, like I'll go like, and then push it out.
Okay.
Instead of going all the way back.
You're gonna have to get shoulder replacements.
Don't put that evil on me. Don't put that fucking evil on me. I've been playing sports since I was, I don't know, 4 or 5. And I feel like every kid starts out playing like soccer or like t-ball.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I feel like totally. I've played everything under the sun. I've had like 6 concussions. Oh yeah, my friends will tell you it's been bad. I got a concussion out here, like a dumbass. I was rollerblading and we were playing football. And my friend was chasing me. My friend that used to live around the corner, my best friend Anthony Trayman.
Shout out
Anthony Trayman.
Oh my God, boys are wild.
He chased me around a car, and he went to strip the ball from me because I had the ball. Stripped it. I fell back, hit the back of my head on a muffler.
Oh!
So that was one of them.
Oh my God.
And then the rest have just been from like rough housing.
Do you feel like that's caused permanent damage?
Potentially. I feel like my short term memory loss is apparent.
You're like short term. I mean, wait, which one is it? Yeah, yeah.
My short term. That could be also be like just like shit I need to resolve and hit therapy. Like I've also heard that that's a thing.
Potentially. Plus COVID,
yeah. I've had it twice.
Yeah, 3 times. Literally every October since 2020. I know.
You're doing a couple months.
I know. I'm like, in October, I'm staying inside. Mm-hmm. Saran wrap myself.
Air purifier.
Truly.
So, yeah, that's what I do. I feel like I always tell my friends I don't have time. Turns out I do.
Well, you are hanging out with them.
Yeah. Well, barely. I hardly go out. Like when I do go out, it's after softball.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go to the bar. We used to go whenever the Rangers were on. The Rangers playoffs were a staple in going to the bar.
Yeah.
And we would always go to the same bar, and it lasted. We got eliminated in what? Early June, mid June maybe. So from May to, or late April to that time, we were going to the bar.
Mm.
So yeah, I guess I do have a lot more time than I think. I gotta put my phone down. Is what I need to do. Like I used to be good.
Started.
I would delete the apps, and then when I wanted to use them, I would re-download them. I've gotten real bad.
Real bad. Mm-hmm.
I don't even want to look at my screen time right now.
Yeah, it's bad. But also, it's like I gotta do it. I gotta be on there. It's like my newsletter, and I feel like I have some friends who are like, "Oh, you're good at social media." To me, I'm like, I'm just
on it too much.
I'm just always on it. I know, but it's also a great resource for like networking and connecting, and like I love hearing and seeing what people are up to, and like, you know, just that's how you're gonna get the word out about this podcast. So it's like it's a give and take, but.
Yeah. All the people that followed me today, thank you. You're the original ones to watching this very raw podcast.
Yeah. What is the Instagram, by the way?
It is Behind the Artist. Thank you. Behind the Artist Pod on Instagram. Wow. I'm going to probably make a TikTok.
Coming in at the end. Oh, definitely make a TikTok. Yeah,
have to. So, yeah. I feel like I had something else to say.
Did you?
Did I? I was watching... Zane Lowe on Apple Music.
Okay.
He does the interviews all the time.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And he was on with, or she was on, Gracie Abrams was on.
Okay.
And what she's doing, she just put out an album, The Secret of Us.
I don't know her.
Oh, she's so good.
Gracie Abrams. Okay,
Gracie
cool.
Gracie Abrams. Very good. But I've been taking a lot of, like, inspiration from Zane Lowe's, like, show. Because he interviews the biggest artists. He's on Apple Music.
Yeah.
They have to have everybody.
Yeah, everyone.
But I think the way he... communicates with the people that he has on is like a very personal thing, and that's something I'm trying to emulate.
Yeah. When you have other artists on here that aren't trying to take over, you'll feel maybe a deeper connection.
No, you've been great.
Yeah, I know.
I wanted to hold that silence.
I know, that would have been a good clip.
I'll
Yeah.
I had to blink.
That's genuine. Blink. Yeah. Also, whenever there's like a pause in a podcast, I'm like, oh my God, someone's calling me. So everyone would have checked their phone. But I mean, I'm excited to see what you do with this. Like,
thanks.
It's a great setup. Just, it's so economical being able to do it in your house.
Yeah. I had this idea probably 2 years ago, maybe a little further than 2 years ago.
Everything happens right on time.
Oh, yeah, right.
Because you didn't know me 2 years ago.
No.
I didn't know you.
I didn't know you a year ago.
Yeah.
Did you think about what you're going to perform?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it an original or is it a cover? Beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm thinking logistically how this is going to work.
Do we want to close? How do you want to do this? Like, do you want to close this interview down and pause and then...
I mean, we could just use this as like a little bullshit segue into...
Yeah, great. But you got to set it up.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and then you can... Yeah.
All right, yeah, we'll do that. This has been Shayna Blass on Behind the Artist with Will Borowski. You're a phenomenal guest.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me and
letting
me chat and enter your space and...
just ramble.
Yeah, you can find me everywhere at Shayna Blass. On Instagram, Spotify, Venmo if you're nasty. But yeah, I try to make it easy. And TikTok and really everywhere. It's just Shayna Blass, ShaynaBlass.com.
Everything.
Just in YouTube. And I also have a podcast, Shane the Good People. Mm-hmm. That's on YouTube. That's on streaming. So yeah.
Cool.
Great.
You want to get a thumbnail?
Yeah.
Just.
Should be. Great. All right. So this is my song. Called Hey.
Hey, have you seen me today? Is all my face in the mirror just a moment ago? But I'm looking around. Nothing to be found. Seems I just away. Hey, have you seen? a blank space I couldn't explain.
Thanks.